Hey, it's a local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Chris Lorton. I'm your host. And here on the spotlight show today, I have Steve Akers. How are you? How are you, Steve?
Good, Chris. How are you doing?
And Steve is with the Soli Scrap and Haul Off Everything.
Yeah, Acre junk. Scrapping Service hauls off literally everything. You can take the abbreviations however you want, but
yes,
that's
okay.
Not me.
So, Steve, you're a family man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah?
Family of, I've got a wife, two kids. I got my stepdaughter, Cheyenne. She's 20 years old and a handful. And then I got my 8-year-old son, who usually goes out on jobs with me.
Yeah?
Who is... more of a handful than my 20-year-old daughter by far. And then my wife will come along with me at times, too, to make sure that I'm not going to fall over dead and whatever out there. She's a good helping hand when it comes to paying attention to stuff, but not so much unloading stuff. God love her.
So you're from Brighton?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Born and raised.
Yeah. Southwestern High School?
Yep. Graduated in 97.
I got
by
you.
The coolest class that come out of there, I think.
Probably. So... you said that, I mean, right now you're into scrapping and hauling off stuff, along with you work at a cemetery.
Yeah, I work full-time at Upper Alton Cemetery in Alton there, and okay. 40 hours a week just wasn't cutting it financially for me, so I started, I was doing the scrapping beforehand, and I was just kind of did it through there, but as I was doing it, I kind of evolved into scrapping and junking, and plus the cemetery. So now I'm doing the cemetery 40 hours a week, and I think I'm doing the Acre Scrapping Services probably about the same 40 hours a week. So the financial end is definitely – I'm definitely making my financial ends meet, but now I don't have no time for anything.
Right. Now, you told me before the show that you did some comedy. You did stand-up comedy.
Absolutely, yeah, man. I had a blast doing that in my younger years. Well, I did some stand-up in Bunker Hill, and I did some stand-up at the Funny Bone over at Westport Plaza. I can't remember everywhere I went, but and then I did a lot of your amateur nights. And in fact, in 98, I had an audition at Saturday Night Live. But
really?
You
had an audition. How'd the audition go?
It went pretty good. If I wouldn't have smoked joints before my audition and ruined my whole livelihood right there. But we'll just say I didn't really want to be a comedian and live the glamour life. I would have rather been a union laborer back then.
So what was it? What was it like? What's it like doing stand-up comedy?
Unbelievable, man. It's a rush like you wouldn't believe. Whenever... I would do stand up. At first, I was so nervous I couldn't even hardly talk.
Okay, I want you to do this for me. I've heard a lot of people talk about doing stand up comedy, and I don't know if I've ever really actually met anybody that did stand up.
Right.
You know, that actually did it. What are some things if somebody's listening to this and they go, you know, I always thought I should do stand up comedy, or you know, my son or daughter or my cousin or my friend, they should do stand up comedy. Because they're so funny. But what are some of the guidelines if you are going to try to do stand-up comedy?
Oh, guidelines. You know what? I don't know.
I mean, what kind of material should you use?
I went with life experiences only because at that point in time in my life was crazy and fast. And it was not a life that... I would suggest to anybody, but there was a lot of humor in it if you sat back away from me and just watched the show, you know? And I've learned that as I would deliver them stories to people of stuff that happened to me, the people around me would bust up laughing. So I took that to a different level.
Like when you were just in a group of people,
yes,
you were
yes,
talking.
You know, just... drinking beer and hanging out with my friends and hi, how you doing? Next thing you know, I got all these guys in stitches and, oh, you're funny. And it,
you need to do stand-up.
Yep. So I tried amateur, and I kicked butt. And
did
I,
you?
Yeah.
Good.
And then I did. I got paid twice to do stand-up over there in St. Louis, and was I did one show in Bunker Hill. I might have done more than one show in Bunker Hill, but Definitely life experiences. Definitely life experience. And it's just how you deliver it, I think, too.
Can you give us just a little sample? And, you know, of course, it needs to be clean.
Well, that's the biggest problem is me being on a clean radio station. I don't need to really get into that because it had a lot of stuff to do with, you know, just stuff that families don't really need to talk about.
Okay.
So I'll just leave that one alone.
All right. Well, you had fun doing it. Got paid at it.
Yeah, had a blast doing it.
And do you find yourself getting invited to parties just because
how funny back you then? Are? Yeah, back then, absolutely. But once I dropped all that lifestyle, went to the family lifestyle, I don't get invited much places anymore. I don't see much of that lifestyle anymore. So
then you started. You were a union laborer.
Yeah, I did that for 15 years. Man, I loved everything about it. I loved the. Just the aspect of being a union man and to be able to say I was, you know, the sergeant in arms and to be able to say, yeah, I worked on 255 from this section to that section. I was a non-working foreman out there for a few miles of it. I was proud of that. But at the same time, I got a pacemaker put in. I had blood clots. I couldn't be doing that type of work anymore. So I went to the Upper Alton Cemetery. It was a lot less stressful, and then it wasn't paying me nearly as good. So I then stayed at the Upper Alton Cemetery because I love it so much, and also did this on the side. I love this too.
The upper at the cemetery. So do you like dig the graves? Dig the holes?
We do all the maintenance up there, and yeah, that's the first thing people ask when I say, "Do you work at a cemetery?" Or when I tell them I work at a cemetery, oh, do you dig graves? Yes, we do.
Yeah,
we do. We got a backhoe that digs them. We got two full-time employees at that cemetery.
Are you still putting them 6 feet deep, or has the number changed?
No, it's 6 feet deep. It's six. There's rules and regulations on all that.
Is that 6 feet from the bottom, or is that, I mean, is the hole just 6 feet? Or you have to leave 6 feet of earth over top of the casket. What is it? I mean, you're digging the holes. You should know this.
You know what? I do know the answers to that, and I probably shouldn't give the answers out on the radio station. Oh. I don't know. I don't know the exact numbers. I just know we dig to a certain level on the backhoe. You know, yeah. A certain mark, and that's our mark.
Okay,
we go from
if you're
there.
Thinking about it sometime, I'd like you to take a tape measure and just measure that, and just message me back and get this number. I need to know this.
I will. Hey, I'll absolutely do that.
I want to make sure my time comes. You know, I want to make sure I'm legal. I get to the right depth.
There you go. Yeah. They're definitely in the right depth. I know that. They're down there far.
Yeah. So what do you mow or other things there?
Yeah, pretty much summertime. It's nonstop mowing. Like I was going to say, we got two full-time employees and then the manager, and there's 55 acres there. And it's a nightmare to keep up with the graves, the maintenance on everything, the trees, the grass. It's a nightmare with this little people, but our board tries, but there's supposedly not enough money there to hire enough people in to keep that thing mowed looking nice.
But you seem like you like it. It's not depressing for you.
It is not depressing for me. I know this sounds silly, but my uncles have worked at that cemetery for years. I watched them work. I've worked there off and on throughout the years. I love the place. I love it. I enjoy it. So if you love what you're doing, then it's not work.
When I grew up in Hardin, we lived at the bottom of a hill right in town across the street from St. Francis Church and School. Well, we were at the bottom of the hill, and at the top of the hill was the cemetery, you know, for the whole town was up there. And we were kids. We would find ourselves going up to the top, you know, going in the cemetery, and we played in the cemetery, which didn't think anything about it, you know. You just kind of get used to it. It's like, yeah.
As a kid, I used to play out in the cemetery, too. We chased chipmunks around out there and had a blast doing it.
There was always something to do in the cemetery. Yeah.
You know, I always wondered over there in Hardin and Calhoun, when they go to digging something over there, I'm glad I don't have to dig over there. It seems like that ground would be hard to dig in. Like it's all rock or something over there, isn't it?
It's not bad.
It's not bad?
No, it's not bad.
That's good.
For sure.
Good.
Yeah, so no worries over there. So, hey, if you're just joining me, I have Steve Akers with me. He runs the, how do you pronounce that? Asoli?
Yeah.
Asoli scrapping and you haul off stuff?
Asoli scrapping, or you could say Akers Scrapping Service hauls off literally everything and just kind of use your imagination on the abbreviations.
Is that part of your comedy shtick?
Actually, it was. Yeah, there was a few people that didn't like me, and I thought, well, I'll I'll give my company a name for them. And little did I know, I gave myself a name.
So in your scrapping business, so somebody has something, you know, you just let it be known, hey, give me a call, I'll come pick it up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I tell them, usually people ask if I can come pick up their junk. I got two different trailers. I tell them the different prices. I got a smaller trailer. I charge $250 to fill it up. Got a larger trailer. I charge $350 to fill it up. And, you know, different.
Now, this is more, junk.
This is junk. This is anything you can think of.
So where do you take it?
Well, it all depends on what I'm getting. I got a 40-yard dumpster in my driveway.
Okay.
I throw a lot of the. You know, if there's pet hair and stuff all over the stuff, I'm not even going to try and do anything with it. I'm throwing a dumpster. But the metal stuff, I scrap out.
Right.
Sometimes if there's a bunch of clothes and stuff, I'll donate to one of the places around here, you know, mm-hmm. Goodwill or something. And then I'll take a lot of stuff to auctions if it's something I don't want to. A lot of times when I'm scrapping, I get stuff that I just hate to get rid of. I know somebody.
Because it's got value.
Yes. I know somebody's going to want this for something, you know, and I hate to get rid of it. So I'll put it in the auction or put it on Facebook, try and get rid of something. Uh-huh. But less I put in my dumpster, the more, the better it is for me.
Right. So as far as scrapping goes, do you get much value? I mean, is it just steel or you get copper?
You know, as far as the scrapping goes, I'm not making, I mean, I couldn't feed my family off the scrapping end of it. But what it does do whenever I'm slow on junk, it kind of fills in the gaps. I go and pick up the scrap here and there. And if I'm not making the money off the junk, I can at least make a little bit of money off the scrap and keep the truck fueled and clean, you know, with the scrap of money. And also picking up scrap for free, get your business elsewhere. If I'm going out to your house to pick up a bunch of metal junk you got out there, you're probably going to say, hey, I got this too. Yeah. Are you interested in this?
You know what I could see you really doing? I mean, maybe you do this already. Like somebody's selling their house, right? And they got a lot of junk, you know, that they need to get rid of. Do you get a lot of business like that?
Get a lot of business when somebody's selling their house. Unfortunately, a lot of my business is through heartache from somebody. Loss of a loved one. You know, I got to clean out their house for them or nursing homes, situations, cleaning out their nursing home room whenever they pass. Or the one gal lived in an apartment over here and she was in a domestic dispute and her boyfriend was beating her and she just wanted out of there and wanted it all gone. And I gave her a heck of a deal. I didn't want to charge her, but I got rid of all of her stuff for her that she wanted to get out of there and she didn't have to go back in there for it. So there's a lot of heartache is where it comes from, unfortunately. And a lot of them is like renters that move out, the tenants move out and just leave. Yeah. The poor landlord's a mess.
Yeah, I've had that happen to us before.
I dealt with that at 518 here in Jerseyville when I cleaned that out for them.
Yeah, when'd you do that?
I'd like to say around June.
And you cleaned the whole 518 out?
Oh, yes, poor people. It was miserable. The lady that owns it, I won't say their names, but the lady that owns it, you could tell she had a heart for the place. She cared for it. She loved it. And
yeah.
And when this renter moved out, I guess left them with a big mess in there. And I got rid of, I might be one off on these dumpsters, but I think it was four 40-yard dumpsters and five 30-yard dumpsters, if I'm right.
Whoa.
We got out of there.
What kind of stuff was in there?
I think this lady that was hoarding in there might have thought that the stuff she had, she was going to sell on eBay or something at some point in time. And there was just, you name it, stuffed animals, baseball cards, clothes, stacked to the ceiling. And it was bad.
Did you find yourself sorting through it and putting the good stuff in?
At first, I was spending a lot of time looking to see what I found in there, what kind of, I don't know, cool stuff, treasures I could find in there. Well, I got to where it was taking too long looking through all this stuff. So I got to the point to where I was just throwing everything away, but I noticed a lot of my helpers were in there looking through stuff. So
he
I
said,
had to
hey,
say, all
get
right,
to work, get to work.
Yeah.
Get it loaded up.
I finally got me a crew that was pretty darn good, and I kept with them. I like them.
Yeah.
So we got that place cleaned out for them. They were really happy with it, and I sure hope they can get it going and looking nice again.
Yeah. You don't know what they're going to do with it?
No idea. You know, there's speculations. Uh-huh. My guess is that they probably want to sell it, but I'm not 100% sure on anything. Uh-huh. So.
What's the most valuable thing you've ever found? If you could talk about it.
I actually can, and it's the guy, if the guy's listening, he'll know exactly who I'm talking about. But it's a lawyer, and I went to his house to look at stuff, and he showed me everything he had, and I said, well, I'd be back the next day to clean the stuff up. He said, okay. So he leaves, and I show up there the next day, and I'm waiting for him to show up, and I cleaned out this little garage, and all that was left was a shelf, and in the bottom corner was this little bitty box of stuff, and I didn't even think about that box. Well, I heard him pull up, and I walked out to say, hey, you want me to take this shelf out of here? And he says, let me look at it. And he walks in there, and he says, oh, he says, he looks at the box underneath. He says, you got to check this stuff out. When I bought this house, there was money in all kinds of these boxes around this house. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. The one thing I left in there, and it, no kidding, he picked it up, and there was probably 100 1950, I want to say $3 half where they were all, it was the last year they were all silver in this box. And I said, oh my. He says, oh yeah, I'm glad I found that. He says, I've been giving all the money back to the original owners. I said, you're giving that back to them? He says, yeah. I thought, oh my gosh. But there's been a lot of cool stuff I found, but yeah. That was definitely on top of the list.
Yeah, but you didn't get to keep it.
No. And to see a lawyer that honest, you just don't see that anymore. I told him, I said, I'll tell everybody if anybody ever asks me.
Okay. So if somebody wants to get a hold of you, you got a phone number?
I do got a phone number. It's 618-225-2168. Feel free to call me anytime. I also got a Facebook page, Steve Akers Facebook page, or Akers Scrapping Service Facebook page.
Oh, I got two Facebook pages.
Yep.
You're all over.
Commercials on YouTube that is under the abbreviations for Akers Scrapping Service hauls off literally everything on YouTube.
Okay. And you got a little YouTube show?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Now, you've done a little radio?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Fun. Interesting. I got friends of mine that people may have heard of and brothers on whatever that did radio in St. Louis, and I did a couple shows with them, and WSMI, I went up there to get some advertising, and they were interviewing me, wanting me to come up there and do some work, and it just didn't work out because there's no insurance. And I'm sure all these radio people know this radio stuff really doesn't pay that much unless you're Howard Stern. But the insurance is the only reason I'm pretty much not in radio. I enjoyed the heck out of radio, acting, and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Entertainment is, I love it. Yeah. Love it. Well, yeah. But instead, I'm just digging graves and picking up your junk.
Now, you mentioned just a little bit briefly, maybe some of the listeners will remember this. You know, you said you spent a lot of time in the varsity club.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But you were talking about my nephew JD's varsity club. Oh, yeah. I had the original varsity club, which was on 109. And then later on, he used the name and opened up his, which was on State Street. So
the original varsity club was a little bit before my time.
Yeah, probably.
But and to be honest with you, and I hope JD don't get in no trouble, but varsity club might have been a little bit before my time too at the beginning. But by the end, I was definitely old enough to be in there.
Yeah. So what was the varsity club like back then?
You know, whenever we would go in there, I think everybody knew everybody in that place, and by the end of the night, everybody wasn't fighting everybody was in love with everybody. I enjoyed it. It was so much fun. Now, I do remember whenever it would shut down, boy, we had to have that sober driver, because them police in Jerseyville were no joke to mess around drinking and driving. And I had papers to prove it back in the day. I've grown up. I don't do that anymore, but yes.
So what did you guys do back then whenever the varsity club would close up? You head to Alton? Or out in the...
We were what you call Hoosiers or rednecks. After the varsity club would close, I know this has been years ago. I don't live this lifestyle anymore. But we would drink beer on our way home on the back roads and do Hoosier Hillbilly, whatever fun we could find in the 15 miles on the way home.
Yeah.
And we never went over 20 mile an hour, you know. But I would not advise that to anybody nowadays. It's not a smart move at all.
No,
but,
nope, it's not good.
No, not at all. But, I mean, we were young and dumb.
Yeah. Any words of wisdom for that people need to know from you, from Acres Scrapping?
You know what I achieved? I know this sounds stupid, this solely Acres Scrapping service hauls off literally everything, was a dream of mine to do. And I never really thought I would ever own a business. I'm LLC now, insured. I mean, I never really thought I would have anything like this. I just kind of fell into it. So if there's anything you like to do, stick to it. Do it hard. I mean, go at it. And then you're going to wake up one day and have money in your account and think, holy crap, I got a business. I'm a business owner. I'm somebody now. I'm just not the person working 40 hours a week.
And you had fun doing it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You know what the best part is? Meeting the people. You never know what the next job is going to bring. You never know who's going to be there, what you got to deal with, what nothing. I love it.
Okay. What's the craziest character you ever ran into picking up scrap?
Well, just here recently, I went to a gentleman's house, and he was wearing a muumuu with female makeup on and instructed me on what to clean up.
Yeah.
Super nice gentleman, just really caught me off guard. Wasn't expecting that. And on the phone, you had a real deep voice, and I was not expecting what I seen, but hey, whatever floats his boat, it just caught me off guard.
Well, Steve, thanks so much for coming in.
One more time,
throw your number out there.
It is 618-225-2168. Please call me anytime, just not past 9 o'clock at night. I'm an early. Go to bed early.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Take care.
Yep. You too, man.